GreatMotors.com.
Talking with Bill from Tales of the City. Bill, can you tell me what you mean by treats with a purpose?
Sure. Humans use collagen now to kind of keep their bone health and their joint health. We have a really neat treat, which is a collagen puff, which are excellent for the dog's joints. The muscle looks like a pork rind. They're cheese flavored, venison flavored, beef flavored, peanut butter flavored, but they all have that same purpose. And Emma loves to demo those.
Treats with a purpose at Tales of the City, 218 West Burkett.
Holiday dinner's coming up? Don't gamble with mystery groceries. The Health Nut has the good stuff to keep your feast on track. And while you're out shopping, treat yourself to a Health Nut smoothie that actually tastes like the kind of thing an elf would sneak on his break. Need gifts like scented candles, glowing salt lamps, cozy alpaca wool clothing? And if the season's stress is already chewing on you, grab the supplements that help you power through it. The Health Nut in Sheridan's 5th Street Mall.
This announcement brought to you by Farmers Co-op Country Store on Coffeen Avenue, home of ethanol-free premium fuel.
Sheridan, every child deserves a Christmas. The Marine Corps Toys for Tots would like you to be part of this year's toy drive. Register, donate, or volunteer at sheridan-wy.toysfortots.org. Distribution is December 17th through 20th at 151 West Brundage Street. Hope is only a gift away.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, December 10th, and from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Wyoming Game and Fish Public Information Specialist, Christina Schmidt. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
How was your Thanksgiving? I haven't seen you since then.
Nice and quiet. Yours?
It was about the same. We didn't get to leave town, but the wife baked her, well, I guess you could say baked, her first turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out really, really well.
Excellent.
Do you do the turkey thing?
This was my second time doing the
really?
Turkey. Yes. Usually we go elsewhere. This time we hosted. And so, yes, second time. And also came out great.
Fantastic. So, that's great.
One of those things you're thankful for, right?
Exactly. Thank God it's not dry.
I was nervous. Yes. I had visions of like Christmas vacation where they cut into the turkey and it just,
That's really funny you say that because that's the exact reference that my wife made. She said, I don't want that.
Oh, yeah, everyone does, right? Like, that's the worst case scenario.
Well, hunter surveys, this is a vital resource for game and fish. What would you like hunters to know about the harvest surveys being sent out right now?
They are just what you said, very, very important. They are one of the pieces of the puzzle that our biologists and wardens look at when they're looking at our wildlife populations. So these are surveys that are sent out not to every single hunter, so we'll get to that, but they are sent out annually, and they have a series of questions just about a person's hunt. So you'll go through the survey. It's going to ask questions, you know, what species you were after, were you successful, how many days did you hunt, were you not successful, how many days did you hunt? And all of that's really important. I think a lot of people may think, well, if I didn't harvest anything, I don't need to fill out the survey. And actually, that information is just as important as if you did harvest. So, you know, for example, if you say, well, I didn't harvest, okay, well, how many days did you hunt? One. Okay, so, you know, things hadn't worked out. You didn't get days off to go out in the field. Okay, an unsuccessful hunt after one day tells our biologist one thing, but if we're unsuccessful, but they spent 9 days in the field, that says something totally different, right?
Yeah.
And same with if you harvested in 3 days compared to, wow, it took me 9 days. You know, that's all of that is really valuable information. So we do ask folks, you know, regardless whether you harvested or not, if you had a license, even if you didn't make it out in the field, again, that's information that's valuable and important. So These are again, pieces of the puzzle that our biologists look at along with, you know, their population surveys, conversations with hunters that they have through the season, conversations they have with landowners, field checks, you know, when they're doing checks during the field season. All of this is important information. So these surveys get sent out depending on your license type and when the season runs. They're kind of staggered as they go out close to the end of the season for whatever license type you have. And so they kind of come at different times. For folks who have licenses that are more limited in number, say moose or mountain goat or bighorn sheep, every license holder will get a survey for those species. But for deer, elk, and antelope, of course, there's thousands and thousands of licenses. So they only send out a sample. So that a sample, representative sample number. So we get that question. People say, well, you know, I've gotten the survey 3 years in a row. I didn't get one this year. It must be lost. And that just means, you know, you weren't randomly
Your
selected this year.
Up.
Yeah. Which then makes it all the more important for folks who do get one to fill it out, because not every single deer, elk, or antelope hunter will receive one. So if you do, it's important that you fill it out. So these are going to come usually via email. And we do this in conjunction with the Statistic and Analysis Center out of the University of Wyoming. So it may look a little different, and folks may say, it doesn't. You know, I think the subject headline is going to say, you know, harvest survey, but where it's coming from is not necessarily going to say, you know,
Wyoming Game and Fish.
Yeah,
sure.
So if you get something that you think is a little weird, but it does say harvest survey, it is still coming from us. That's just they're assisting us with the survey. So
are hard copies still going out, or is that done now?
I think some still do. I think some still do. Usually they're going to try to send out via email just because it's faster and easier. So so definitely keep your eye out for that. Again, you won't necessarily get one every single year, but take a look. If you get it, it's really important. Fill it out. Check your spam folder, too, just in case it gets sent somewhere like that. And we do ask you wait until you are done hunting. So, you know, what we don't want to happen is, you know, it's almost the end of the season. You think you're done, so you fill it out and send it in. And, oh, well,
One more day.
Unexpected day off. I'm going to go out and maybe harvest. So then the information's incorrect. So wait until you are for sure, like, done with your season and you're not going to be going. Then fill out this survey and please get it back to us, you know, as soon as you can. If you have any questions, give a call. We do have just kind of a thank you for folks who participate and fill it out. There, if those are received back by January 31st, there's kind of a package of different outdoor products that have been donated that they'll, I believe, do a raffle for. So,
oh, fantastic. So your name gets thrown into that hat.
Yeah. So, again, it's a thank you. We appreciate it. It's important information, and it's certainly a way hunters can help with management decisions going into the future is filling this out.
I think that's, excuse me, my next question is, when we sit down with all these hunter surveys, what are the biologists really looking for? Or are these surveys used so broadly by so many different individuals within the game and fish? It's more than just about population.
Correct. There's going to be questions about satisfaction, like, were you satisfied with your hunt?
Okay.
Yeah. So, you're right. It's pretty broad. It's going to get a lot of information. And a lot of this is put together in what we call the job completion reports. And certainly encourage folks, if you have interest, there's a job completion report done for every herd unit in the state. And those are on our website. And you can read, about a specific herd. And it does provide, some of that information is provided in the job completion report.
Interesting.
How many days did it take people to harvest last year versus the last 10 years and things like that. So that information does get used and compiled in reports that the public can see later.
Yeah, that sounds like a report I could dive into and maybe throw some good information out there. That's good stuff. You know, how many days does it take the average individual to huntable elk in this region or something like that.
Yeah, and people use this a lot if, you know, when they're thinking about putting in for a limited quota tag in a certain area or whatever. We encourage people, go take a look. It's got great information. That's just part of it, but there will be, you know, two or three pages about that particular herd
written
by the biologist that is in charge of that particular herd. So really great information.
Christine, I did not know that this report even existed. I think that is fantastic information. And before I went on a hunt, I'd sit down with that information and look to see the herd that might be either traveling through my hunt area or living in my hunt area.
Yeah, there's great information in those job completion reports. Definitely encourage people to take a look. Again, there's going to be information, you know, population numbers, estimates, things like that. But also, you know, hey, what's been going on with habitat? What's been going on? Any disease concerns? Are there any research projects? You know, just really great information.
Is CWD information within there?
We have a whole web page with chronic wasting disease information. So there may be in each herd unit, there may be some chronic wasting disease specific information, but you can always go to the web page.
And that'll give me details.
Oh, absolutely. Lots of information about the disease and interactive maps. So you can click on every hunt area in the state for deer and elk and look and see whether it has been detected there or not. General prevalence levels, things like that. So that's another great resource.
Absolutely. And that's information you should know going in there. We'll take more with the Wyoming Game and Fish right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
The team at First Federal Bank and Trust is once again partnered with Sheridan Media for our annual Christmas Wish campaign, a campaign to help people who've fallen on temporary hard times.
Our team at First Federal Bank and Trust is committed to helping individuals and families in our community who need a helping hand up. Our commitment has been and continues to be our community. In years past, the Christmas Wish program has provided gift certificates for groceries, gifts for children, and paying bills. I invite you to join the First Federal Bank and Trust team in supporting the Christmas Wish campaign.
I'm with Candace Kindred from Teriyaki Madness, and I hear you're bringing the madness to catering.
Tommy, hi. We sure are. Our teriyaki bar feeds up to 10 humans. You pick one protein and two bases, white rice, brown rice, fried rice, or noodles, and each bar comes with our stir-fry veggies.
That sounds delicious.
And if you need more, just add another teriyaki bar or grab a couple a la carte trays. We make it crazy easy. Hey, and tell everyone you made it. We won't tell.
Bring the madness to your next event with Teriyaki Madness on Coffeen Avenue behind Scooters.
This holiday season, give a gift that shines with meaning from Legacy Diamond and Gems, family-owned and operated since 1964. Legacy is Sheridan's trusted jeweler for generations and Sheridan's only GIA graduate gemologist and one of only three in the state. With their creative team of bench jewelers on site, you'll find true craftsmanship and service that lasts a lifetime. Legacy Diamond and Gems, where your story becomes part of ours.
Newsflash! Santa's naughty list has been hacked and leaked. Turns out it's all of us. That's like you're not knowing that Hando's has a showroom stocked with accessories perfect for gifting to that outdoorsy, naughty guy on your list. Heck, a new 4x4 or snowmobile would be great, but Hando's has everything from weatherproof covers for his machine to sound systems and LED lights that put Rudolph to shame. So all of us are naughty. We know that now. So join the in crowd at Hando Service Center on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with Wyoming Game and Fish Public Information Specialist, Christina Schmidt. And I got a question for you, folks. Have you ever wanted to work for the Game and Fish? Christina, you got some seasonal job openings coming up. What are we looking at?
This is the time of year, believe it or not. Here, it's not even Christmas, and we're looking at seasonal jobs for 2026. So, this is kind of the traditional time we start sending them out. So we have plenty of time to advertise and you know, go through applications, do interviews, do the whole thing. So it starts pretty early, and there are some jobs listed currently on our website that are open and taking applications. So in the Sheridan area specific, aquatic invasive species technicians. So these are our folks who work at the check stations and do watercraft inspections, visit with the public, really important jobs, obviously.
Absolutely vital,
very
vital
important
here.
Jobs.
Yeah.
So we have positions that will be open Beulah, Keyhole, Newcastle, and Lusk. Those are actually currently advertised now, if you were to go on the website. And those are 9-month positions. There will be a Sheridan-based 6-month position getting posted in the next few weeks. So it's not open quite yet, but it will be coming. So,
how many positions do you think usually needed? There's a lot of stations out there.
Are you statewide or in the region?
Even just within our region.
I think in the region at least 15.
Wow.
And our region does cover all of northeast Wyoming. So all
yeah,
of those several check stations. It's a lot because we do try to have those check stations running, you know, once boating season picks up, 7 days a week, 12-hour days.
Wow.
You know, we try to make it as convenient as possible for folks and make sure that we're getting all of these inspections done prior to boats launching, you know, if they've come from out of state. So, it's a big effort and for sure hire several folks. It's quite a project to keep everything staffed in multiple locations.
When it comes to training, how long is our training program? How long will I end up having to be there?
Yeah, so our aquatic invasive species specialist, so Reed, who has been on the program before, he does the training, and it's thorough,
for sure.
You know, you're going to learn very similar to the public training we do for public inspectors, you know, the biology of these things. Where you want to look for on the watercraft, what are some of the hidden spots where you might find something, you know, here's all the questions you go through. How do you do a decontamination of a boat if that needs to be done? So there's a lot to learn for sure. All the training is provided.
That's fantastic. And usually how long do these positions last?
So there's a combination, summer 6 months, summer 9 months.
Okay, so if you really want to kind of stick to it and give the full boating season, then you really can. Or you can take it just as kind of a summer job?
Correct. So the Sheridan-based one is 6 months. Some of those others are 9 months. So, if you go on the website, there'll be detailed information about all of them.
Where do you get a lot of your AIS specialists who kind of man these posts?
Oh, gosh. He has had everything from college students to retired folks.
And I think that'd be fantastic. Well, both. I didn't think about retired individuals who were getting out there, just want to be outside, have something to do, earn some extra change. But at the same time, what a fantastic job for somebody who may be studying biology in college. I mean, that's literally field experience that you're getting.
Correct.
Right there.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that might seem like, well, it's just an AIS check station, but at the same time, you're looking for some of the most microscopic life forms that could invade our water space. So you've got to know what you're doing out there. Let's talk about fisheries technician. What is this?
These are hired every year. These are different in that they will assist with some watercraft inspection stations, but predominantly they're assisting our fisheries crew with summer work.
So, I'd have loved this job.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have loved it.
Yes. And we have had folks come back a couple years in a row because it's outside. It is hard work for sure.
Yeah.
It's field work, but they're getting to help sample waters throughout northeast Wyoming.
Real science,
yes. So they are assisting and traveling a fair amount, hiking into some remote places. You know, they do everything from, you know, streams out on the prairie to high alpine lakes. It's really diverse, really, really neat work. So these generally start April or May and run through into September. They tend to attract folks who are pursuing a degree in fisheries or biology or something like that. So definitely go take a look. Those are open right now. They do hire those all over the state. And so right now, Sheridan Region is open.
So if you're looking for a great job to really do over the summer months, if you're studying biology, what a fantastic level of experience you're going to be getting out there. You'll be able to put that on a resume. This is the kind of job that you kind of want to do if you are in that field, and that was the field I wanted to go into when I was younger. So I think that would have been a fantastic job for me. Let's talk about it's game warden.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. For me, when it comes to game wardens, that's pretty high up there.
It is. Yeah. So it's not a seasonal job, of course. So those other two we were discussing are seasonal jobs. These game warden positions are permanent positions. Of course, quite a bit different.
This
is a big job. Yep. Very big job. These positions are doing, you know, primarily law enforcement of wildlife laws and regulations. So they do have very different requirements. So definitely still want some sort of a wildlife or biology or range management, something like that in the background. And they will, of course, have to do law enforcement training as well.
They literally go to the Wyoming Law Enforcement Academy, don't they?
Correct. Yes. Yes. If they don't already have certification. Yeah. So it's a lot. It's a big job.
It's a big job.
It's a big job. And Wyoming's unique in that our game warden positions, of course, do wildlife law enforcement. They also work very closely with biologists on the management end of things. And that's not true in all states.
Really?
Yeah. In some states, it's purely law enforcement, and that's it. Whereas in Wyoming, it's a mix. You are also working very closely with the wildlife biologists on setting seasons and management decisions. And some people have come from other states to Wyoming specifically because they like that mix.
I think that would be great. Yeah,
that opportunity. So
I mean, you're a scientist with a badge.
Yeah, yeah. So it's definitely a big job. Again, it's a field job. It's hard work. It's exciting. Lots of field work and pretty neat experiences. So I encourage folks, if you're interested in something like that, go to the website, look through, you know, the job requirements, you know, what they're looking for, what will be required with the whole hiring process, all of that. So if you go to our website and go all the way to the bottom, there's a link that says careers. And when you click on that, it'll tell you a little bit about different jobs, and then there's a link from there to look at ones that are currently open. So look for careers at the very bottom of the webpage.
And this career, my goodness, you know, I think about the accomplishments of some of the great wardens that I've had the pleasure of knowing through the years. One of them comes right to the top for me is Jim Seaman.
Mm-hmm.
He was a fantastic game warden. He did long-term investigations, caught poachers. I mean, this is a law enforcement job, folks. So this is something, if you're interested in that line of work, how many warden positions are open right now?
I don't know exactly how many are open right now. There's usually about 50 districts around the state. So,
I mean, that's incredible to think you're kind of the detective up there in the middle of the forest, making sure everything's okay. And if it's not, you open investigations that could last years.
Very unique job.
It is a very unique job, and it's a fantastic opportunity. It's one of those things I've noticed, and maybe you could probably testify something different, but boy, once somebody gets in there, they want it for life. You know, I see a lot of individuals just their whole career spent as a game warden, because it is an exciting job. You're outside all the time. The pleasure of riding with a game warden just one day. And boy, we were all over those mountains in that one day.
Yeah, every day different.
And every day is different, absolutely. Switch of gears, Anya. I spoke on the upcoming Virtual Fence Symposium that's taking place in Gillette last time you were here. Have you gotten a lot of registrations on that?
We have.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Yep, we have. So this is just a reminder for folks that if they are interested in going, this is absolutely free. But we do need RSVP, and that's coming up. Registration, we're trying to get everyone registered by December 15th. So it's a symposium on virtual fence. So this is fencing for livestock without physical fences. So these are the electronic collars. Going to have four different manufacturers of virtual fence there on hand, representatives from all of the manufacturers to talk about their products and how they work specifically. Going to have livestock producers who have actually used this technology to talk about their experience with it. And then some representatives from different agencies that will help provide funding and kind of what those parameters are for getting started with virtual fence. So great opportunity, all educational, plenty of time for discussion and questions, but all day, January 8th in Gillette at the Camplex.
And I love the idea that you're having some producers out there who've already got some experience with this, because, you know, representatives from the companies, great intentions, they're doing their job. I want to hear the cons.
Right.
Tell me the hard part about this. Tell me something that may not be clicking right, especially if we happen to be in some sort of terrain or something else. Now is the time to ask those tough questions during the symposium. You get up there with those tough questions, the things that you think aren't going to work about virtual fencing, throw it out there. See what these folks have to say. Because if this is something that works, my goodness, this is beneficial for everybody.
Yes, it's from what I've heard, people have, you know, it's not no work. It's not like, oh, you never have to fix fence again. It's just a different kind of, you know, you're doing different things to maintain this kind of fencing. So those are the questions that we want folks to have answered is exactly what you're saying. Like, okay, this sounds great, but, you know, how did this go? How did that go? You know, what's been good? What's been hard? What didn't work out like you thought? What's better than you thought? So just an honest conversation about how it's going. It's such a new technology. Just really want folks the opportunity to learn.
Yeah. And it's great to hear that people are actually going for this, because I'm not going to lie, I thought that a lot of producers would be a little hesitant about this type of technology. The idea of taking my fence down, that's kind of alien almost, you know. I'm expecting my herd is going to be everywhere. But everything I've heard about this, both from the Wyoming Game and Fish and the Sheridan Community Land Trust, this thing works.
Yeah, and it's, from what I understand, and of course I'm going to learn more myself. I'm not an expert in this. I'm going to learn. And from what I have read and picked up on so far is, you know, you're outside perimeter fence remains, you know, you're going to keep that fence.
Kind of
it's kind of the internal. It's the internal fences where you're splitting up for rotational grazing or things like that. Those are the ones that make the most sense for trying virtual fence. Whereas, you know, again, sounds like most of the time you're going to leave your full boundary fence.
Okay. All right. That's kind of a different thing for me. All right. Is there anything else you would like folks to know about anything that we've talked about today?
Just head to our website. Again, the Virtual Fence Symposium, you can go to within the website. There's Sheridan Region specific. You can go to regional offices, pick Sheridan Region, and that event will be listed under our regional page, so you can go there for the registration. Again, careers, just go to the main website and go all the way to the bottom, and it's just a small link that says careers. And for Hunter Harvest Surveys, if you have any questions, give a call, I believe. Also, in that email that you would receive, there's a phone number there that you can call with questions, but you can always call the regional office as well.
Fantastic. Christina, thank you so much for coming in today. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Merry Christmas, my friend.
You as well.
All right. When we return, we'll speak with the Sheridan County Recreation District. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
The team at First Federal Bank and Trust is once again partnered with Sheridan Media for our annual Christmas Wish campaign, a campaign to help people who've fallen on temporary hard times.
Our team at First Federal Bank and Trust is committed to helping individuals and families in our community who need a helping hand up. Our commitment has been and continues to be our community. In years past, the Christmas Wish program has provided gift certificates for groceries, gifts for children, and paying bills. I invite you to join the First Federal Bank and Trust team in supporting the Christmas Wish campaign.
Hello, Wyoming. This is your Congresswoman, Harriet Hegeman. With my legislative agenda, I continue to prioritize deregulation, energy dominance, defending your constitutional liberties, and preserving Wyoming's way of life. From unwinding the Biden administration's policies on western lands and resources, to keeping rural mail operating effectively, to protecting Wyoming truckers, drivers, and roads, I spend each day with your priorities as my focus. By acting as a liaison between you and federal agencies, my office has returned over $14 million to Wyoming citizens and businesses. If you have a tax dispute or need help with the VA, the Social Security Administration, or another agency, please call my office at 307-261-6595 or go to hegeman.house.gov. Paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
Happy holidays, Sheridan. This is Aaron Odom, the president of the Civic Theater Guild, and I'm inviting you to join us for a local holiday favorite, Christmas at the Carriage House, directed by Pat Tomsevic. Backed by popular demand, Christmas at the Carriage House will feature songs and stories from some of your favorite local performers, and from what I understand, there will be cider and holiday cookies as well. Performances run for only one weekend, December 11th through the 14th. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday performances are at 7 p.m. and our Sunday performances at 2 p.m. Get your tickets now at wyotheater.com.
Mossholder's annual snowflake sale has begun. Just like every year, every customer will save at least 10%, but several will receive discounts of 50, 20, and 30% off. One lucky customer will receive half off their entire purchase. It's easy to save. Once you've selected all the furniture or bedding you'd like to buy, you get to choose an ornament of your choice, and inside, a snowflake reveals how much you save. The snowflake sale runs through December 23rd and is good for in-stock and special order purchases. That's Mossholder's annual snowflake sale going on now. Mossholders, furniture is our passion.
Bricks and mortar, sticks and stone, a house is a house until you make it a home. Sandbox, hopscotch, yardstick on the wall, backyard soccer goal, laughter down the hall. This is Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty. Don't settle for the first house that works. Let's find the one that's home. I'll put my years of experience and extensive knowledge of the local market to work for you. Buy or sell with confidence. Call me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964. And we'll start your home journey today.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I'm joined by Sheridan County Recreation District Director Alex Mock, Recreation Manager Zach Stewart, and Adult and Aquatics Supervisor Kylie Modath.
Modath, yes.
I nailed it, see? Yeah. I got this.
Thanks for having us, Floyd.
Oh, thanks for coming on, guys. It's great to see you. I don't have you enough. I need to alter that and make sure that I'm getting you guys in here more because you've got so many great programs going on out there.
Yeah.
How have things been at the rec center?
It's been busy. It's been a great end of the year. We had a ton of programs. Basketball is just wrapping up this week for our fourth and fifth grade, so it's exciting to get them off and running, and then we get to end it with our winter shootout classic. So we're pretty excited about that.
Huge, huge event. Yeah. Happening in Sheridan this coming weekend.
It is.
I mean, I was reading some of the information provided to me. We're talking somewhere, estimate, $300,000 coming into this community because of this.
Yeah, it's a nice economic impact that this is going to bring to the community, especially when it's the slower season of when tour travel and tourism are happening in Sheridan. And so being able to not only offer this basketball tournament as a region-wide, so we get teams from Montana and South Dakota, but all over the state of Wyoming as well. And honestly, Sheridan has probably one of the least amounts of teams that are in this event as well too. So it's pretty cool. It's awesome to bring to the community, and you know the benefits of having all of these different teams come throughout and come into Sheridan to see what we have to offer and what we have in our city. And so being able to stay here at our hotels, being able to eat at our eateries and then shop downtown is something that's always really cool to see and be able to showcase Sheridan in itself.
I had a captain that I served under, and I told her, you know, I'm moving up to Northern Wyoming. I'm going to work in Sheridan. And she said, wow, there's Wyoming's hidden gem. And that's really what it is, isn't it?
Yep.
And so having these families come in here, they're going to this tournament.
Yep.
They're going to look around and go, wouldn't you love to see this place in the summer?
Yep, absolutely. That's the hope, is that they're going to continue to come back to Sheridan to see what all the different types of events that we put on as a city and as our town in itself, and be able to just, you know, visit and enjoy the bighorns. You know, we have Antelope Butte, and that's going to be that's opened up right now, I believe, for skiing. But we also have, you know, the mountains in themselves and the trail systems and all of our parks and programs that we offer, as well as just, you know, that good, awesome feel of a small town. But we have a lot of culture in this town as well, too, with the museums and all the different aspects of what Sheridan has to bring.
You know, I was going to ask you, Alex, if McCoy was outside praying to the gods of snow.
She is. Hoping and constantly. Waiting. Yep. Yeah. She's ready for everything to start going with winter wise. But yeah, for sure.
Now, what does it mean to your staff to host more than 400 coaches, players, parents? I mean, that's a lot of folks coming into town.
I'm going to give that over to Zach here, and he can explain that.
Yeah. First, we do want to recognize all of our sponsors for the tournament. We do have First Northern Bank, the Best Western, Camco Federal Credit Union, Qdoba, Sheridan Travel and Tourism, Alpha Graphics, Kilpatrick Creations, and Powder River Pizza. Without all their support, running these tournaments are a lot harder. And so whether it's in-kind donations or financial support, for the Best Western, giving the teams a great hotel room rate.
Yeah.
Without them, it's going to be hard to host these tournaments.
What is the, you and the staff, what do you guys do to prepare facilities for this amount of people?
Yeah, so we run four courts. We're going to be at the Sheridan High School and Sheridan Junior High School. So we'll run all those games across all four of those courts. With staff right now, we have over 30 staff for the weekend, you know, almost over 300 staffed hours for the weekend between officials, scorekeepers, gym supervisors, site supervisors, hospitality, gate. Just a lot of moving parts, and we're grateful that we have all the staff that we have for this tournament. We got officials from the Sheridan Officials Association. We have a lot of our officials that ref our youth and adult basketball, as well as our staff. So we're very grateful for all those staff that are going to help us out for this weekend.
It's all hands on deck, isn't it?
Yes. All yeah, hands on deck. Everyone's working this weekend in some capacity.
I've talked to umpire associations, I've talked to other recreation type organizations, and they all seem to have a problem finding umpires. Alex, mm-hmm. Are you finding that to be the truth?
It's that way. I think that's way nationwide. I don't think it's that Sheridan's a one-off. And it's difficult because of the time commitment that it takes to actually be an official. And, you know, anymore, you have to have tough skin. To be an official, even when it comes to our youth programs and when it comes to just in general, either football, basketball, baseball. So, you know, it's always nice to have our families and our teams and our players understand that a lot of these people are giving away their time, their free time to come help support. Because without them, honestly, we can't do our job. We can't offer the programs that we do. And so continually to thank them. If you see an official out in the public, say thank you for your services. Yeah. I mean, we can't do our job without them, and be kind to them well when they are officiating, when they are trying to control the game and control the aspects of the game as best as possible. So that in mind, if you ever do want to come out and be an official, by all means, come stop down the rec office. We are always looking for officials, whether it be baseball, basketball, football. We're looking for coaches for tumbling right now. I mean, so anything and everything, just stop by, have a conversation with Zach, myself, Kylie, anybody that works at the Sheridan Recreation District office. You guys, it's a huge help, and it helps us do our jobs and helps us provide good quality programs.
We need to change the culture around umpires, folks. These people are saints and heroes for going out there because they are giving their time.
Yep.
And a lot of them travel all over this state in the course of a weekend through some of the worst weather conditions just to make sure that these kids can get out there and play.
Yep.
So let's change the culture around that. Let's walk up there, thank those who are giving their time to make sure that these kids get to play whatever sport that that is. All right. Now, what would you like residents to know is, when it comes to going out and watching the games this coming weekend?
Yeah, going out to watch the games, they are open to the public. There are admission fees, $8 for adults and $5 for youth and seniors per day. So we do encourage people to come in, support the local kids here. We do have 10 teams from the Sheridan, Tongue River, Bighorn area. So come out and support those kids. And then, again, just treating staff with respect, with officials, with people that are in charge, listening to them. And kind of letting our staff guide the event and let everyone have a great time and just treat everyone with respect. That's all we can really ask for this weekend. If we ask you to do something, we would have really appreciate you to follow through with those directions.
Alex, the admission fees.
Yes, sir.
Where does this go? To pay for the event?
Yep, to pay for the event. So in all actuality, this event with everything combined in the staff hours and the amount of time and equipment and supplies that are needed to run this, we're pretty close to a break-even program. So this is just one of those aspects that help us run this event and constantly provide the event. Because if it's a feasibility issue, right? So if we're not going to be able to feasibly run this program and run this event, then we have to take a look at it from an organization standpoint to say, well, you know, we just don't have the capacity. And with the recent, property tax cuts and things of that nature that are hitting, that are benefiting the community of Sheridan and people who have homes and are homeowners, those funds are also, what are being cut also helps support the Sheridan Rec District. So we are seeing a little bit of that. That cut when it comes to that. So this is another opportunity for us to, continue to offer those programs at a reasonable price.
Zach, how long has this been going on?
Oh man, I ref this when I was in high school and college, so it's been a little while. I'm pretty sure it's right around 40 years
this
tournament has been going on. Obviously, it's the Best Western Winter Shootout right now. It was the Holiday Inn when Holiday Inn was here. It was the Holiday Inn Winter Classic at one point. Rich Bridger, the mayor, he had worked it for many, many years during his entire tenure with the rec district. So
that man has paid his dues.
Paid his dues.
So it's been going on for right around 40 years. I don't know the exact date, but it's been going on every year in December or January for right around the last 40 years.
How have you seen it grow over the years, Zach?
Yeah, so travel basketball has exploded, especially in the last 10 years. I've been with the rec district 8 years now. There's so many teams that have come out. The most we've had a 70 team tournament at one point.
My goodness.
Just with the growth of travel basketball and travel organizations, it's been a popular thing. But obviously you can see we have 39 teams this year, but that's due to it still is growing at such a rapid rate that there's more and more tournaments being hosted at the same time all the time. So there's a tournament up in Billings this weekend, as well as there's one in Cody. So we have 39 teams here. Billings has 45. Cody has 20. So there's over 100 teams in the region that are participating in basketball tournaments this weekend. So that's kind of where we're seeing some of our numbers at that 39 team mark. Normally we're right around the 40 to 50 mark, which is kind of what we're expecting for the upcoming years. I don't think we'll be back in that 50 to 70 team model unless towns stop hosting these tournaments. But you can see that there's such an economic impact in their communities.
And massive boom. Yeah. Massive boom.
And to that too, and to that point what Zach was making, we really don't have the capacity to host. I mean, I really tried to cut us down from limiting the amount of teams and the amount of divisions that we have. So having 70 teams is really pretty unrealistic with the amount of facilities and staff and hours during the day. Cause we're running
sleeping in the hallway.
Yeah. Man, we're running programs we're running this event from 8 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock at night on Saturday
and Sunday.
And
that's
Sunday.
How it was in the past. Yep. Now we're right around that 40 teams. We're done about 1 o'clock on Sunday. So that allows our staff to get home, teams to travel back. because you never know what the weather is going to hold.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Getting done around 1 o'clock at the latest for some of these teams that do play in that 1 o'clock or that noon championship game for those divisions. It allows people to get home and see their families and
Mainly the get home part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get home and get ready for the next day. Cause I believe there's still school on Monday, you know?
All right. I'm going to switch gears on you. What can you tell us about the upcoming, and hopefully I'm saying this correctly, just co-creates sessions?
Yep. We started this up last year. And what it really emphasizes is us being able to meet the people and meet the community where they're at. You know, we have our board meetings that we have are always at noon on the third Wednesday of every month. So it's hard for people to get out and the community to get out to come to those public meetings that are located at the Hub on Smith. So I thought of an idea and I've kind of made staff create presentations and basically giving information and projecting themselves onto what it is that they do. What do we offer when it comes to adult recreation, you know, our parks, our youth recreation, our outdoor recreation, and then get feedback and ask, what is it that the public is looking for? What are we wanting? What is it that you guys want? Because at the end of the day, that's what we are. We are public servants. We are here to serve the community of Sheridan. And how do we do that? We don't know what that is. We have really good expertise in all of our fields and what we do. But if each different town is specific on what they do and what their interests are. So that's a big thing of us and each one of these co-creates are geared for that, to see what the interest is of the community specifically for each one of these sessions.
All right. Now you've got a schedule of these that are going to be taking place. You have that up on your website, I imagine, your social media as well.
Yep. We're going to be getting that on social media and our website. But for right now, the co-creates start, we're going to start in January. So the first one is going to be on January 13th. And that is going to be our adult recreation, which is going to be presented by Ms. Kylie Modaff. And then we have our second one. So it's each month, and it's going to be the second Tuesday of each month in the beginning of the year. So the first one is January 13th. Our second one is going to be February 10th, and that's going to be youth recreation. And that's going to be presented by none other than J.D. Williams, our youth recreation supervisor. And then on March 10th, if you want to come hear me talk even more, by all means, come down. I'll be doing a presentation on the parks and aquatics and with the pool opening. And then our last one is April 14th. And, you know, McCoy Phelan, she's our outdoor recreation supervisor. She'll be doing that one and specifically on outdoor recreation, in which that was our most popular one that we had last year when we did do these co-creates. And so you can definitely see that outdoor recreation is at the heart of what Sheridan is. So it's pretty cool. But all these other different opportunities for the community to come out and join us. They are going to be at 5:30 p.m. and they are going to be at the Fulmer Public Library.
Fantastic. All right, switching gears on you. Let's talk about the planned June 6th opening date for Kendrick Bowl. I know everybody's looking forward to this, Kylie. What do we know?
I mean, I'm also super excited. The pool being closed for a year now opens the opportunity for this whole new facility to be open to the community. Tentative date, barring anything happening, is going to be June 6th. It'll be quite a busy day in the park, but it'll be a great time. We're hoping June 6th is the date, and everyone out in the community can come in and see the new facility.
Is there going to be like a party or anything, a banner? what cost are you throwing out here, Alex?
So they are in this... It's really interesting. So we've talked with the city, and this is actually going to earmark the 90th. Is it the 90th or the 89th year of when the pool was open?
I want to say 89th.
Okay, 89th year of when the Kendrick Park pool is open. 89 years is pretty wild. And the other thing that's happening on this weekend is the Dead Swede. So the Dead Swede is also on that June 9th, and that's what it's scheduled for that weekend. So there is going to be thousands of people that are going to be in Kendrick Park. And so our goal is to partner with the Dead Swede and the Sheridan Travel and Tourism to make this an actual really huge event. So getting vendor trucks there and getting sponsors that are going to be able to come in and basically showcase what this grand opening for this amazing amenity that the community of Sheridan can utilize for many, many years to come.
Kelly, can I go down, get my passes and everything purchased now so that I can kind of guarantee me and my family got a spot?
So not quite yet.
Okay.
We are going for February 1st is going to be the opening of our season passes. And then we'll also, you can always go to the front desk and get a daily admission pass whenever you come in. We are going to offer memberships again this year. Prices have increased, but just to be able to afford with the new pool opening, they range from seniors being $150 to adults being $200 to families being $300 for the entire duration of the pool being open.
Okay, great. All right, so we can head down there. February 1st, folks, if I don't talk to you guys before then, which I'm hoping I will, I'll make sure that everyone's got that date. I'll write
that would
down.
Be at the rec district office.
Yes. No, and also you can purchase online as well.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Now, moving on down the line, what should local businesses know? I've only got about 1 minute left, Alex, about sponsorship levels and their support and how it directly impacts you guys.
Yep. So by all means, we just sent out our annual ask letter to all of the businesses or as many businesses as we could possibly think of. To help support us in our endeavors with the Sheridan Recreation District. So those different types of sponsorship levels are from a community level all the way up to a platinum level sponsorship. You can find those details on all of those sponsorship levels on our website, or just give me a call at the Rec District office. And what those sponsorships do are they help us give scholarships and for our youth and families that are underserved or in need of a scholarship and some sort of assistance when it comes to our programs. We like to, we definitely like to hold our hat on the fact that we'll never turn away a kid from a program that we offer in the Sheridan Recreation District. And what this does is these sponsorships allow us to continue to offer those scholarship programs to the underserved youth in Sheridan.
All right. I thank you so much for doing that, because that was important to me that we got that part out, that these help get scholarships in there so that these kids don't have to sit off on the sidelines.
So they don't have to sit off and they get to actually enjoy and learn the sports that we've grown so accustomed to loving and giving to this community.
All right. I want to thank you guys so much for coming in this morning. It's an absolute pleasure seeing you, and I hope to see more of you.
Absolutely. Thanks Floyd.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
The team at First Federal Bank and Trust is once again partnered with Sheridan Media for our annual Christmas Wish campaign, a campaign to help people who've fallen on temporary hard times.
Our team at First Federal Bank and Trust is committed to helping individuals and families in our community who need a helping hand up. Our commitment has been and continues to be our community. In years past, the Christmas Wish program has provided gift certificates for groceries, gifts for children, and paying bills. I invite you to join the First Federal Bank and Trust team in supporting the Christmas Wish campaign.
This time of year, everything in Wyoming gets tested. Your patience with the wind, your brakes on the ice, and especially your roof. At Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors, we know Wyoming weather, and we make sure that your roof passes the test. Our metal roofing, impact-resistant shingles, and expert work keep your cold out and the comfort in. Working with insurance, we take the hassle out of your hands. Go with the name you know. Call Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors, or visit us at Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Rich DeMuro here. Join me for Rich on Tech, Saturdays at 2
on News Talk 930 and 103.9 FM.